Hey, so my name's Yasmin. I am a specialist musculoskeletal physiotherapist. So I specialize in sports injuries, running injuries, particularly the hip and knee are my areas of speciality. So I trained in the NHS, and I now work in private practice. So I do online and in-person physio sessions.
And why did you get into this world? Because a lot of people neglect the world of wellness and act like it isn't a necessity in our life. So why did you get into it, and how did you get into it? Was there anything that sparked it, or was it just an interest you had from a young girl, perhaps?
Yeah, so actually my dad was in an accident. So he was hit by a 4x4 when he was on a bike. And he had lots of injuries. So he injured his ACL, like broke loads of ribs, fracture of his femur, like hell of a lot of injuries. He was off work for, I don't know, months, but I was maybe like 14. So I went to some of his appointments with him, and saw physios in action then. And that's, yeah, where I kind of realized actually what a huge impact a physio could have on somebody's recovery, their mindset, like their everyday life, like being able to work out, like and just to be able to make somebody a little bit happier after something quite traumatic.
Yeah, that's one of the questions I wanted to ask. Like, how much can your physical fitness and well-being contribute to every aspect of your life? Because I've had it myself, where sort of not getting out and even just stretching the legs, like even that impacts my brain, which therefore impacts my whole day. So in your view, how can that, like, first initial step of your physical well-being, like, impact the rest of your life essentially?
Yeah, I mean, completely. Like, well, we all know how exercise can make us feel. So I don't know if you've ever ran or ever experienced like something called like runner's high potentially, or you've ever felt really good after like a gym session or a workout with friends. So we do know that we can get happy chemicals released when we exercise. And so it massively can affect like the way that you show up in the world and being able to help with your mindset or how you are with your family and how it can really just make you feel good, as well as I think a lot of people sometimes get into exercise through like things like aesthetics and how they want to look rather than maybe how they want to feel, and completely nothing wrong with that. But often people find that the reason they actually stay and stick with exercise is because of how it makes them feel, not really how it makes them look.
And is that a real thing then? So that's science behind that, the runner's high. That's just not a coincidence that you go for like a nice run and it goes well and you feel good. That's not a coincidence. That's actual science, like on a chemical level, right?
Yeah, completely. So it's going to release happy kind of neurotransmitters. It helps with kind of dopamine response as well. And also like maybe even to a respect of like being able to overcome something that was difficult. For example, maybe somebody who's training for a marathon or something, actually like maybe it might not feel that good when you're 30 kilometers in, but that feeling afterwards of like achievement and like well-being and doing something for yourself as well.
And what's a common misconception about this world of physical fitness? Like, I know some people say, talking about running, oh, running's bad for you actually because it hurts your knees and stuff like that. Like, what are some of the things you see on a regular basis that you're like, that's just not true? Is there anything that stands out?
So that's actually a good one because that's not true. So running, yeah, some, unfortunately, I will even get patients that have come to me and their GP potentially or another health professional or even a family member has said like, you shouldn't run because it's not great for your joints. And maybe like our granddad had bad knees, so it might mean that you'll have bad knees or something. And we actually know that that's not true. So things like running can be actually really protective for the joints. So there's a few studies out there. One in particular that I'm thinking of showed that patients or clients or people that ran a certain level, so moderate running, actually had a 10, I think it was around 10.8% less of a risk of getting osteoarthritis than somebody that was maybe not moving at all and just kind of sat in on the sofa and didn't really do much exercise. So it's more productive and protective to run than it is to do nothing. So yeah, we know it's quite a good exercise for your joints. So that's definitely one I would think about correcting some of my clients on.
Yeah, and in terms of nutrition as well, because a lot of what I speak about is putting the right stuff into your mind, so to speak, and how that impacts your day and your life. What about a step before all of this, like the nutrition and the food you intake? How important is that to your physical well-being, fitness, and everything that comes after that?
So I guess as a physio, I guess I will be talking to my clients about making sure that you're fueling enough, because that is something that I see where unfortunately maybe clients aren't eating enough to actually keep them exercising the amount of exercise that they want to do. So how fueling can improve your like energy capacity basically and keep you going for longer. So fueling is so important, particularly I guess if we're taking that example of running again, like if you're not having enough energy in, your output isn't going to be great and you can be at risk of lots and lots of injuries, particularly like bone stress injuries and fractures and things like that if you're not getting enough energy in. So nutrition is incredibly important.
And do you have any good examples of practices to stay injury free, like on a more sort of surface level for the runners, perhaps? Is there anything that we should be doing at home? Because I know for myself, I don't stretch enough. So the amount of times I've done my rotator cuff when I'm doing weights or on the boxing bag, because I don't do that little bit beforehand in terms of the stretching, I ignore that bit and go straight into the workout, and I've ruined my body basically, like, by doing that. So do
Definitely.
you have any good examples of practices that a lot of us can sort of take in just on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I mean, well, definitely warming up is important. So getting your, depending on what you're doing, whether you're going to the gym or whether you're running, you need a warm up that is going to prepare you for that. So if we take the example of a runner, actually just doing some stretches probably isn't a great idea because that's not what you're going to be out going to do. So I would be getting people to do maybe some pogo jumps or some lunges, and hip openers and things like that before they went on a run rather than stretching, because we actually know that stretching might reduce your performance before you go on a run. Whereas if you were going to the gym, I would be thinking about could you do some mobility work before you did your upper body session. So it might be that you kind of work on some movements to open up your thoracic spine and work through range of movement of your shoulders. So I think the warm up should always be about the task at hand and thinking about that. Also, strength training. I always recommend strength training to protect your body from injury. And I think if you're thinking about a really healthy body, you're going to have good stability of your tissues, your muscles, your joints. You want to have good strength. You want to have mobility. You also want to have that flexibility and balance. So it's about making sure you're addressing all of those. And, somebody might be really, really good flexibility wise, excellent at flexibility. They don't need to do any more stretching. What that person needs is they're lacking potentially in strength. So it's about finding your weak spot and what you need to work on rather than kind of a one size fits all.
That's what I was going to ask when you just before you said that. I was going to say, is there an overall sort of workout regime that works best? Like, for me, my perfect sort of example of training that I've sort of figured out for myself has been a mixture of HIIT workouts and weights, because if I put too much stress on my body, I suffer when I go running. There's a lot of impacts I feel on my body afterwards, whereas the hits the spot but doesn't sort of take me into that zone where I'm like burning out and injuring myself. Is so you're saying it just depends on your body type and how you feel and how you can act essentially.
Yeah, I think it depends on one, what your sport is and what you want to do. And then it's training around that and working out what your body needs to be able to prepare you for that. Because, yeah, if you feel like you're getting massively like burnt out around sort of running, it might be that like endurance isn't a great thing for you because typically like HIIT workouts are a lot shorter potentially. So you might be doing really, really well for like 20 minutes. But if we tried to make you go on a 30 minute run, your endurance wouldn't quite be there. So it would be working maybe endurance of the muscles or working on getting you strong enough so that your energy, you've got more energy capacity basically. So you're not burning through all of your energy quickly. So having strong muscles might support that.
No, that makes sense. And switching gears ever so slightly, my podcast is centered around wellness. So is there any, we spoke about staying injury free physically. Is there anything that you've taken on board, perhaps personally, or you've seen through your clients to help you stay injury free on a mental level, like help you stay level headed, focused? Is there anything, any practices you've seen amongst your clients or anything you take on yourself?
I guess in terms of an injury and injuries in general, we can't fully avoid injury, and injuries are like a fact of life. And if you're an active person, at some point it's likely that you're going to get injured. And I think during my time in the NHS, I worked with like a huge range of clients. So I worked with people who were like in chronic pain or people that had just had acute fractures that maybe they had an accident, a car accident or something. You can't control these things, or sporting injuries, you know, having like a twisting injury or like an ACL injury. And I think you can't completely avoid them, but it's how you deal with it at the time, which can massively change the outcome for your injury. And I think mindset actually plays a huge role in that because, you know, it's upsetting to have an injury. It's frustrating. It's also probably painful. So these are all really uncomfortable emotions for like people to sit with. But what I noticed is that people that, you know, were actually able to have more of a growth mindset or a positive mindset around their recovery, do, I think, do a little bit better. And so I think things can help that. For example, just like using some simple techniques, like maybe even thinking about like gratitude around where you're at with what you do, like where you are. So yeah, you might not be able to play football or run at the moment, but you can swim, or actually you managed to walk 20 minutes that day without pain, and you hadn't managed to do that in 3 weeks. And I think those kind of techniques can help with your outcomes completely. So yeah, those are the kind of things that I would be kind of asking my clients to also think about.
This sounds absolutely bizarre, but have you ever heard of anyone visualizing their themselves better from injuries? Because there's a guy called Dr. Joe Dispenza who had a spinal injury and he literally visualized himself better. Have you experienced that or heard any stories about that in your field of work?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely use those techniques with clients because it helps. And I've seen this help clients, you know, every week. And so I think, yeah, like we know in sports, even as well, like you can visualize maybe you winning a race, yeah, and you know you can prepare yourself for that. And sometimes, like the rehabilitation journey, you can see it a little bit like that. You know, it's going to be hard. Rehab is always is can be tricky. Sometimes the exercises aren't that exciting, or you know you're not doing what you love to do. You're taken out of that, or there might be some barriers as to how you can keep up with the rehab, and also thinking about the time frames of healing and things like that. But the power of visualization is incredible. So, you know, I might get clients to kind of visualize their recovery, visualize what barriers might be in place, visualize them physically overcoming that barrier of potentially not feeling like doing their rehab that day, and how they might overcome that by, you know, changing their mindset around that. And then I might actually get them to visualize their recovery steps. So a good physiotherapist would be able to offer you, say you had a fracture of your shoulder, a good physio would be able to give you a plan. They would give you timelines on your recovery. So they might say, okay, well, it's going to take 6 weeks for that bone to heal. And then it might take you, say, 12 weeks to get you back in the gym. And so you would have that time frame in mind. And then what I would ask that client to do is visualize those steps with the rehab plan in mind so that they know exactly what they're doing when they're doing it. But that changes things massively.
No, that's powerful. I'm so glad you said that as well, because that's a big part of my work is like teaching people how to visualize. Do you think the power of the mind will play an even bigger part in this world that you're in terms of helping people recover physically? Do you think that's going to play a bigger part over time, or do you think the industry just won't accept that as much?
I would love to think that it would. I think, we're learning a lot more about this kind of work recently, and I don't know, maybe it's I'm more aware of it than, I mean, I know people have been practicing these kind of techniques for a really long time, but I didn't learn anything like this at uni. This wasn't spoken about in our kind of recovery journey, which seems mad when you think about how much mindset really is important. So I would like to think that, yeah, people are going to be using these techniques and we'll get to understand maybe a little bit more about the science behind it, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. And in terms of, like we just said there, the future vision of the industry, is there any future visions that you have in terms of your work? And tied into that, where can people find out more about how to get in touch with you and perhaps work with you?
So, I guess in terms of what I do, I think because I noticed like what a huge difference adding like mindset work into my rehab skills as well had on clients, and actually how their outcomes might be more positive. I created a online program. It's called the Fitness Physio Method. And essentially I do everything I do as a physio, like my rehab, my assessment skills. And then I also like offer like a full kind of nutrition plan and also mindset, like weekly check-ins, so that my clients are able to keep with their rehab, checking in with that. I give them things to do like gratitude lists, and I give them mantras and a whole load of things to actually help support this part of it. So you can find that online. So I am on Instagram under the fitness physio.
Perfect. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on and hearing your advice. And I'm going to check out what you're up to as well on that front as well. So thank you so much.
Cool. Thank you so much.